welcome along to the Big Red Bench. Sean Cork's Good Times, Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next hour. And it's all the write-off. Who wrote this script? The latest from the Aviva. Ireland 0, England 2. And you'll never guess this one, the goal scorers. Both Declan Rice and Jack Grealish, the former Irish internationals, have scored in the Aviva against their former country. It is halftime now at the moment. And I'm sad to say, it's become a terribly, terribly boring game of football. The crowd have even given up on booing Rice and Grealish now at this stage. England by far the better side, and I'm not at all confident I see any way out for Ireland here. We're probably lucky it is just the 2-0 at half time. But anyways, to some positivity surrounding football, and Cork City have won the First Division, which means that after that terrible slog over a year, Cork City are going up where they belong in the Premier. They beat UCD 1-0 last night in the UCD Bowl, thanks to that Malik Dykstil goal. And of course, our very own Rory O'Hagan was there for us, and he spoke to City boss Tim Clancy.
Tim Clancy, First Division champions, you're back in the Premier Division. How does that sound?
Literally, it was the objective from the second I had the conversation to come in was it was the only goal and short of when the league was going to be a failure this season. That brings a level of, I suppose, expectation and a little bit of pressure, but it's not really a negative thing. I think it's a positive thing. There should be pressure when you manage Cork City, and it's objective sort of secured now, and we plan now for next year.
Let's talk about the game. UCD, as they have done on all your games this season, brought it to you. They were very, very tough opponents tonight.
I think they've been, I spoke to Willie about it there, I think they've been improving and getting better as the season's gone on, and considering they're probably in year one of their cycle and have lost a lot of experienced players, that you can see they're getting better as the season's going on, and they're peaking at the right time. Probably the first round of games for them left them a little bit too much to do, but it's been competitive games in every one of them fixtures this season. There's been an odd goal, a set piece in the first game, and tonight we weren't great, but again we got the job done.
Malik Dykstil still came up trumps tonight. He's been improving, I suppose, as the season's gone on, and came up with a crucial goal tonight.
Yeah, and again, if you look at Mal, the probably frustration he's had this season was he had a nasty hamstring injury which kept him out for the guts of 18 weeks, which is difficult when you're an explosive player like Mal, and he's getting better and better. He's so much quality, and it wasn't a great game. But it goes into Sean, he holds the ball up. Evan, he's done all season, he's raided down the left wing, he's got in behind the fullback, he's cut it back, and it's a great little touch by Mal over his feet and a brilliant finish, and that's got us over the line.
You see the celebrations there, just what this means to Cork City fans, not just win the First Division, be back in the Premier Division.
Yeah, and that's where we belong. We know it was a difficult end of season last year, and when I came in, the very first thing I had to do was try and get the place positive again and start the season on a positive note. That happened against Kerry, and we went on to the next game and the next game, and I think the level of professionalism from the players and dealing with the pressure of having to win every single game, it came at a level of pressure. I thought they dealt with it really well, so I'm delighted for the players, they deserve it, and I'm also delighted for the club and the fans as well.
Planning starts, as you said, for next year. It started early, I suppose, with the signings you brought in, but not just that, you signing a new 2-year deal. What was the negotiations like with Dermot, and how did it go?
It was I wanted to be here. We ended up getting the deal extended. As I said previously, it's a pleasure and an honour to manage this club. And I think after the momentum we've probably built this year, and you see the celebrations there with the fans, and the last couple of games, the shed's been bouncing and all. And if we can bring that enthusiasm, that level of optimism into next season, I want to experience the cross when we're playing against the big boys and competing and beating them as well.
I asked Dermot, was he ready for you knocking on his door repeatedly saying, I need this for next season, I need this player for next season? I'd imagine if a number of players are ready in your head, there's a lot of work to do ahead of the Premier Division next year.
There is a lot of work, but I think the intent from the club and this transfer window is just after passing in the summer. We were ahead by a comfortable margin, and we still managed to get Keith, Shawnee and Sean Murray done. So I thought we had an excellent window. We lost Jaden, but that's what I want for this club. I want young players getting an opportunity. I want young players to even have Benfica, Juventus and Man City and whoever else were interested in Jaden. It's an unbelievable achievement for a kid from Cork, but also for the club as well and the academy, that in the summer that we see a former player going to Everton for 22 million or whatever it is. You've seen another kid that I think practically every big team in Europe wanted to sign him as well. So it shows the success and the work that Liam Kearney and the academy staff are doing, and that's a major part of this club, and it's a massive part for myself as well.
How are you going to celebrate tonight?
I'm going home to the wife and kids, and obviously we plan for next week now, but the lads will hopefully have a really good noisy bus journey back down to Cork, and hopefully there's a few sore heads Monday.
Happy days. Congratulations.
Cheers, thank you.
Yeah, lots of speculation around Tim's job the last while, but amazing to see him signed as manager for the next two seasons. Cork City badly need that stability heading back up into the Premier, as I said earlier, where we belong. Rory caught up with the man who made the deal, City owner Dermot Usher.
Dermot Usher, congratulations. You're first division champion, you're back in the Premier Division, your goals are achieved, job done.
Yeah.
Well, the short term goals anyway, I should say.
No, absolutely. And look, it doesn't make up for last year's stuff, but we'll enjoy it for what this is. Timmy was given a target at the start of the year, and we were all very, very clear about what the job was to do. And the lads have pulled it off. It's been brilliant, yeah.
What was going through your mind when Malik put that ball into the back of the net?
It's typical of Malik. He's had, you know, Wexford, Finn Harps, some of the bigger games, he's been able to come up trumps. I was slagging him inside about it, but he's a big time player, he's a super guy, and hopefully we'll see him here next year as well.
And again, at the final whistle, see those scenes with the Cork City fans, just an incredible moment.
Absolutely. And look, and you know, there was a lot of people coming up to me, a lot of the supporters coming up saying thank you, but really it's thank them as well. It's we're all in this together, you know what I mean? That's the key to it. And you know, yeah, so I think a lot to do for next year. There's a good bit of work now between now and the end of the year to get things better prepared maybe for next year, and that probably would have suffered for the first year when I took over. But overall, look, it's a great night. Enjoy for what it is, and we celebrate and we'll go again. We'll back at work tomorrow, you know what I mean? That's just the way it is.
But the preparations have really, I suppose, begun in earnest with like the signings of Sean and Shawnee and Rory, and of course Tim getting a new 2-year deal.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose there was always a sense of calmness probably within the management team as well, as regards what was actually going on and what we were going to do, what our plan was going to be. And even last year, although we got some decisions wrong, there was still a sense of calmness about what we were doing as well. It might sound crazy, but nothing's really changed on our side as regards what we're doing. But we've got a good team, and it's all about a big believer in bringing people with you on a journey. And the people that we have on board, starting from Aina, he's the main man in the place, starting from him down to the rest of us. We've got great people on board.
He's getting swelled hell now here.
He will, but your luck, we'll sort him out on Monday.
The negotiations with Tim, were you always confident he would stay, or was there kind of a bit of toing and froing, or how did it work?
No, there was like there was only newspaper articles as far as I was concerned. I never even spoke to him about it because I didn't feel I need to. Myself and Tim have an understanding, and Tim has always said to me, if somebody approaches me directly or whatever to have a conversation about something, he'll come and talk to me, and that's the relationship, you know. And that's I know Tim a long time, and Tim knows me a long time, okay, so there's an element of trust there. Yeah, just delighted for him. He's been brilliant this year,
and he's going to be knocking at your door repeatedly saying, I need this for next season, I need this player for next season.
He already knows what he can have for next season, okay, and I think we've already delivered on some of that. I think, yeah, so Timmy knows, and there's been work has been going on behind the scenes for quite some time already, and it's only going to kick off now. Yeah,
Dermot, for yourself personally, you came into the club, I suppose, almost with no connection to it. You came in kind of almost cold. Now you seem to have taken the club entirely to your heart. I mean, like, what's that transformation been like over the last 2 years?
Yeah, and like, I did that as soon as I bought the club, to be honest with you. It's they're great people. Cork people have welcomed me very much, even last year. You know, there's a lot of quiet believers, I suppose I'd call them. And you know, the people that are involved in the club and the people that have supported me and stuck by me, it's just been brilliant. It's been it's a good it was, has been tough at times, but the likes of this year in particular, we're back on the road again, and just looking forward to next year.
You get that criticism, then do you just shrug it off, or how do you take it?
Yeah, I've learned a lot. I found last year particularly difficult. I did. It's a new area for me. It's not the environment from a business point of view I grew up in, and so there has been a period of adjustment, and there's still periods of parts of it that I'm not particularly comfortable with. But I suppose I've tried to remain as positive as I possibly can, even through the bad times, and try to keep everyone focused on what we're trying to achieve here. And there's going to be ups and downs in the road, and that's fine. The difference is with football, you're exposed, and it's very, you know, you have a microphone in front of me here. It's in your face, you know what I mean? And that's okay, but you know, that's the bit of getting used to for me, yeah.
And the best way to quieten the doubters is, I suppose, success.
Results. It's all about results at the end of the day. But there's a lot of work. Liam Kearney, you know, how many academy players are involved in this first team squad? There's people like him, some of the previous managers as well, bringing through some of the academy players have done an unbelievable job, and they shouldn't be forgotten about here because they're critical to what we're doing as well.
How are you going to celebrate now?
I'm going home to have a cup of tea.
Nice. Thanks, Dermot.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, great to be going up to Keating and Maguire this time around. Hopefully, as well, Tim Kinnes strengthen the squad headed into next year. I'm sure he will. To the players now, and Rory caught up with Cork City skipper, Keane Coleman.
Keane Coleman, Cork City captain. You're back in the Premier Division, your first division champions. How does that sound, buddy?
Unbelievable, yeah. Personally, and I'd say for lads who were part of the group last year, we all know what happened. We just had one job and we came back. They got us back up. It was hard for everyone in the club, players, and I can imagine the fans too. Obviously, you know how hurt and angry they were. So to get the job done straight away, it's the main thing, and that's all that matters. And we're back up there, and we just got to make sure that we're there to stay next time, and things are done right, which I think they will. So I'm delighted. No words put into how happy I am, and delighted for everyone in Cork to be back. So we should be.
You saw how much it meant to the fans at the full time whistle as well.
Unbelievable, yeah. Myself as well, everyone. Like, I can't even say it. It's unbelievable. I don't even know what to say, to be honest. The fans have been unbelievable with us this year. But me sticking with us after last year, you know, it could have been easy for them to turn the back on us, but that's where the best fans in the country, like, and they stick with us through thick and thin, like, and they were a massive part this year as well.
As captain as well, you had a big role in kind of uniting the dressing room, uniting the fans around you as well.
Ah, no, look, great fellas with me. Greg, Chaz, Keith, Shawnee came in, like, a big name fellas all day. It wasn't just me, Tim coming in, all the coaching staff, everyone, like, everyone had a part to play.
Talk to me about Malik's goal, and I suppose what you felt like when you saw it hit the back of the net.
I was just trying to keep the head, to be honest, because I've been there before, kind of thing, and you don't want to be honest, when a goal like that goes in, if you go celebrate too much, you lose a lot of energy. Well, I do anyway. I thought what everyone else saw. I just tried to keep the head, and I knew we were halfway there then, so we just had to hold on, and we did.
And UCD put it up to you tonight, as they have done all season.
They did it very good. They're a very good football team. I suppose they're probably the best team in the league after us. They play unbelievable football, they do, like, but we stuck in there. Clean sheet, I think it was the 20 clean sheets of the season from the whole team, not just the back five. So, unbelievable.
Exactly, yeah. And Tim Clancy signing a new 2-year deal gives you that stability you need going into the Premier Division.
It's pretty challenging. I mean, we have him there now, and he's guided us to this year. So, look, that's what we need for the club. Like, you know, things going forward. And look, like I said, compared to last time, we obviously came straight back down. So, we don't, like, I think we're in the right place for that not to happen. Yeah, yeah.
And how are the celebrations going to go tonight?
We'll enjoy it.
Enjoy it, kid.
Thanks very much.
Let's now hear from that Wexford man, Greg Bulger.
Greg Bulger, you're back in the Premier Division. How does that feel?
Yeah, look, it's great. It was a great night. I probably don't think we played our best tonight, but it was all about getting the job done, and we did that. And as you see at the end, the scenes, the crowd, the fans, everyone in. It was a great night for the club, and that was our objective start of the year, to get back up. We've done about, I think, 6 games to go. Yeah. So delighted now. Delighted. That was the aim, the start of the year. And we've done it, yeah, so happy out.
So how much it meant to the fans as well. It's all about them, really.
Yeah, well, look, I know that from being here the last time, knowing that what it means, and look, we're not where we want to be, but we knew that that was the aim all year, to get back up, see Anna, and we've done it, so we're happy. The fans are obviously buzzing, and I think, look, football's not complicated. You give everything, you run around on the pitch, and you give everything for the shirt and the city, and I'm sure the fans will see that and they'll respond to that. So I think we've got that kind of group this year. Obviously next year, look, it's probably might look a bit different, we don't know, but the main thing is we're up, and happy days.
Just on the match itself, UCD gave you another good game. They've given you tough games all season.
Look, UCD, everyone knows I was here. For me, probably from my own point of view, it was probably full circle. I probably won my first division Division here when I was 19, and maybe hopefully it's my last First Division that I've won many years ago, so it's kind of full circle for me. But I know the way, what they're about and the way they play and their philosophy, and it's great, you know. And we knew we were going to be in for a tough game, big pitch, they're going to be up for it. They have a cup game next week against Bowes, probably playing for places, and obviously they don't want us coming here and winning, so we knew it was going to be tough. Yeah, it wasn't our best performance, but it was all about winning, and that's what was kind of the thing tonight. Whatever it takes, keep clean sheet, and we have quality on the pitch to score, so that was the aim, and we got it done.
Melly Dyke still popping up on a cracker.
Yeah, he was. I was too tired to run after him. He ran away after, but that's what we said, keep a clean sheet, and we knew that if we have the quality on the pitch to score a goal, so yeah.
Premier Division football out next year.
Yeah, look, obviously myself, I don't know what the story is yet, but
you'll be back surely, will you?
I don't know. Look,
would you like to be back?
Look, like you said, Phil's there beside me recording me. You know, you're finished long enough. I always said that I hopefully leave football before football leaves me, but I still think I have a lot to offer on the pitch, in the dressing room. If I do sign back next year, I'm not sure. Will I play every game? Probably not. I'm okay with that. But look, I still feel I can give a lot on the pitch as well as in off the pitch, in the dressing room and stuff like that, and going down the coaching route and probably giving something back to the club because they've been brilliant for me. So we see. I'm not sure yet. I don't know.
I think all Cork City fans would like to see you back. Sean, would you like to see him back next year?
He has to come back.
No, it's great. Obviously, great to have Shawnee back, and he's buzzing. He's come into it straight away and in a winning mentality and stuff like that. Coming back from England, and obviously, it was a big decision for himself coming back. And he's obviously delighted, and he loves it. And hopefully, next year, I think for Shawnee, it's all about next year for Shawnee, you know. So wrap him up now, I think, because the job's done and getting ready. Obviously, he's been missing obviously the pre-season and stuff like that. He's been training away, so you kind of need to be careful with Shawnee. So obviously next year is for him, so we wrap him up in cotton wool now, you know.
Congrats, buddy.
Yeah, thanks very much. Get in there.
Will be great to have Greg back next year. That solidity in midfield is something we definitely need to keep. We now hear from our goal scorer on the night, Malik Dykstale.
Malik Dykstale, match winner tonight. You're back in the Premier Division. Can you talk us through your goal and what it meant?
I know Ev always looks for me. He's my boy. So I just knew he was going to pass it to me. And first touch, bang. So happy it went in.
Come here, talk to me about, I suppose, the game first off. UCD, always tough opposition again tonight.
They played very good. I fought for a lot, big parts of the game. They had the upper hand. So we just needed to stay in the game and the goal would come, you know.
What about these supporters, Malik? I mean, like, you can see it's still going on behind.
Unreal. Just even though it's in Dublin today, You wouldn't know, you know. You'd think it's all ground. Just blessed, you know, to come to Ireland. I'd never heard of Cork before, so for me to come in into such a club, I'm blessed for it, you know.
And what does it mean to you guys as players now to be champions and get back to the Premier Division?
Back to where we belong.
What a hero!
We knew start of the season that was the only objective, just to get back into the Premier Division. And like with six games to go, I think. Yeah. So a very good season, I'd say.
And for Tim Clancy to have signed a new 2-year deal as well. Talk to me with him as a manager.
Yeah. Unreal as a manager, just putting belief in me, always telling me to attack, even if it's gone wrong 2 or 3 times, he just tells me to keep going and believes in me, so I couldn't be happy, you know.
Really, congratulations, man. Congratulations.
Yeah, cheers, thank you.
We now hear from City legend, Shawnee Maguire.
Shawnee, what's that feel like being back at the club first off and now being back as champions?
Yeah, no, that's, I came in the club 3-4 weeks ago, and I think the main objective was to get this title wrapped up as quick as we could, and we've done that tonight. I suppose I've been here 3-4 games now, and to do it up here in front of, you know, a good travelling support is a good way to do it. Now we can kind of relax now and look forward to next season.
Great game, wasn't it? UCD were a tough outfit against
tonight. Good. They were very good, and their structure. Look, UCD throughout the years, I think they like the play out from the back. They made it hard for us, big pitch. But look, ultimately at the end of the day, the hardest thing to do football is put the ball in the back of net. They didn't do it, we did. Miles scored a brilliant goal. I was happy for him, he deserved it. Look, they didn't really look, they can pop it, they always do it, but they're only taking shots from 30 yards. They're quite naive in the way they play, but I thought it was comfortable enough in the end.
These City fans are probably one of the reasons you came back, and look at this, it's incredible here tonight.
Nah, it's brilliant. Like, I mean, I think the last 7-8 years being away from the club, it's always meant a lot to me, and to be here now, part of now and part of the future, it's exciting. And I suppose now the main thing now is to look forward to next season and really build and push the team, push the club, and push everyone forward, really.
It's going to be some celebrations tonight, sir.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's 10 o'clock in Dublin on a Friday night, so I mean, in the next couple of weeks, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of celebrations. Maybe not tonight, but like, you win a title at any level, you need to celebrate, and the boys have worked tremendously hard all year and deserve the celebrations in the next couple of weeks.
Thanks, Sean.
Cheers, Roy.
Yeah, brilliant stuff from Shawnee, as always. We are from Barry Coffee now, Natalie.
Barry, what does that mean to be crowned First Division champions here tonight?
Yeah, hard to put into words, really. It's everything we probably wanted to do at the start of the year. I wish we didn't have to do it again, but we did it. I just want to shout out the boys that were here from the very start. Not even myself, but Coleman, Murph, Bagsy, Daz. I don't want to forget anyone, John, myself, who I suppose went through last year and seen the very downs of it. And it's very easy to probably turn a blind eye to that and turn a back to it. But we faced it. Keith, in fairness, I know he went on a little holiday there for a while, but, you know, we realise what it means. And look, these are nights that the club needs to have to get to where it wants to go, and to be a small part of that for my second time is special and truly deserved.
What's that feeling like when you see Malik Dykes' shot into the back of the net?
No, outstanding. I was just outside him. I was nearly hoping he passed it to me, to be honest. No, brilliant for Mal. Mal came in last year as well. I'm not forgetting anyone. He's had his ups and downs with injuries, and he gets his reward tonight by sticking it out with a great goal. It's magic. I'm delighted for him. The staff, you see, the owner, the manager, they've signed deals now. We've got players for next year already. It's savage. It's what this club needs to do. And no, these nights are what the club needs to get to where it wants to go, as I said. And we have to enjoy it because it's not easy regardless.
Yeah, what about these supporters over here?
I don't need to say anything about them. They speak for themselves. They're absolutely amazing. Like, I don't know how many's here. It looks like 3,000 or 4,000, I'm not sure. But they're outstanding week in, week out, with the cross all over the country, up in Finn Harps. Even last year, I know we were going bad. They were probably on our backs, rightly so. We weren't performing. But they always showed up.
Come on, go celebrate, buddy. Go on.
Brilliant stuff. The latest in the is still England 2, Ireland 0. Ireland starting to get a slight foothold in the game and playing a bit more positively, however, although I'm not sure it's going to do a whole lot, to be honest. Earlier today, I caught up with Cork Renegades baseball team founding member and president, as you'll hear, but Brett Sutherland, to discuss their playoff game in Ashburn tomorrow, as well as the club in general. We're delighted to be joined here by Brett Sutherland of the Cork Renegades baseball team. Brett, how are you anyway, first and foremost?
Thank you. Yeah, I'm really good, really good. Just chilling. Nice calm weekend. The calm before the storm, so to speak.
Absolutely. Well, that's not my Irish accent anyway. What way you thinking Ireland England is going to go? Be honest.
To be honest, I'm for Ireland. So let's go for that. And I have to say that because my fiance is Irish. So there you go.
Good shout. I'm looking at your WhatsApp profile picture here. It's a picture of a Beamer. So you've been well and truly converted into Cork anyway.
And there's a tattoo of it on my arm now as well. So there you go. So I'm fully integrated.
Fully fledged. Well, you have a very special playoff game tomorrow.
Oh my God. Yeah. So this is our second year as a baseball team in the National League, and this is our second year in the playoffs. So nervous but excited. All of the emotions that you can imagine when you're a sports team and you're sort of hoping to reach the national finals.
Who are you playing, and where is that on?
So that's going to be at the International Baseball Centre, which is in Ashbourne, County Meath. Baseball Ireland have got a facility set up there that they do all their major tournaments, like they do some under-18 and some youth European tournaments there as well. So any sort of big or prominent game will be played there. It's used throughout the whole season, but any sort of major games or games of importance, like finals or playoffs and stuff, they get played in Ashbourne.
What's that facility like? I can't imagine it's overly amazing. I mean, I imagine the player pool is fairly small nationally.
I'd say you're opening up a can of worms with that question. That would be untactful for me to comment truthfully, but I say let's just say it's sufficient.
Okay. Understandable. Yeah. Are you involved? Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it serves a purpose. It's there. It meets the criteria for a baseball field. But I think if I had the opportunity to do something down here, which I'm hopefully in the process of trying to organise, albeit very difficult, with great difficulty, I would do things very differently, and it would be incredible.
Where do the Cork Renegades train at the moment?
So in the summertime, we train at Tramore Valley Park. When we've got the daylight hours, and then during the winter we go to the Rockies at Blackrock and we use their indoor astro there.
Okay. Do you have much of a player pool down here in Cork? What's that been like?
It's unbelievable. We started with like 17 to 20 and now we're up to over 70.
Wow.
So yeah, and we're just every week we get inquiries for new players, people that haven't played before, people that used to play when they were younger but sort of want to sort of take it up again. The whole spectrum. Every week our email and our social media is jammed with people wanting to join or come and train, at least to see if they like it.
And what nationalities are those people from? Is it like Americans, or is it just Irish people here looking to get involved?
Do you know, mix of everything? Less Americans than you might think, with the national pastime of America being baseball. We've got lots of Europeans, English people like myself, lots of Irish. Hurling itself lends itself so well to the sport of baseball because it's catching a ball and hitting a ball. Mm-hmm. So maybe we've got some hurlers that can't quite keep up with the running, but they can still absolutely leather the ball. They can still catch a ball. So we've got a lot of Irish hurlers. Oh God, Japanese people, lots of South Americans because they've adopted the sport from America. Every corner of the globe, basically, we've got in the team.
And how many, is it just the one team then as well, Brad?
It was last year, but because of the popularity, we have set up two teams. So we've got a team in the B League, and we've got a developmental team in the what is a new league in Ireland called the C League. So we've got two teams set up now, and we've got the C League are up in Corker Park, up around the Dublin way. They're playing a blitz between two other teams today. Mm-hmm. So that's just a full-on day of baseball for them. That's the red team, we call them the red team, and then the black team would be the team that are going up to Ashbourne tomorrow.
Are you one of the founders of the club?
I am a founding member and the current president, I suppose.
Okay, and how did that all come to be? How did you get into baseball in the first place?
Obviously, being from England, I played a lot of cricket. And then on my travels around Europe, I couldn't play any cricket. And I saw some people playing baseball. I asked if I could have a go. And as soon as I put on the mitt and caught a ball, that was it. I was just hooked. I was like, this is the sport for me. Where's it been all my life? And then when we came over here, there was a semblance of a team when I moved here, what's coming up to 4 years ago now. But that didn't quite work out. And then I decided with a teammate at the time, said, let's set up our own team. And that's what we did. And now here we are, the Cork Renegades, current national champions, defending this year. We're from 20 players to just an untold amount and growing every week.
So you won the championship in the first ever year?
In our first ever year. So we only lost one game out of 18. And then we went into a three-game... They call it a series. It's very Americanized, but they call it a series. So you play a series of three games, and it's basically the best of three. We won the first one convincingly. The second one, we lost just. And then the third one, obviously, we had to come back. And then we won that. So we got crowned the national champions in the B League last year.
Whoa, were you bringing in ringers from the States or what?
No, it was good. It was good. It would be like a fairy tale finish to everything that we'd done, you know, growing the club organically and spread the word, and people that wanted to play came and played, and it was a very fairy tale finish to what was just like an absolute blast of a year.
Yeah.
So we're hoping to achieve the same this year. Like if we win tomorrow, then we go into the finals. So fingers crossed for that.
What direction do you hope the club goes in? What do you hope to achieve with the Cork Renegades?
Oh, my God. Yeah, we're doing so many cool things at the moment. At the end of the month, we're climbing Carron Tool in full baseball uniforms, you know, like with the high socks.
Yeah.
and the caps and the jerseys. We're going to climb Karen Tool for the Coke Foundation. We're raising money for that at the moment. We're basically just trying to do a lot of work within the Cork community, so obviously connecting with Coke Foundation. We're teaching in schools, which is the first of its kind in the county. So we're introducing the sport of baseball to schools in and around Cork, and basically just trying to engage the whole community and introduce baseball to them.
Do you have much competition from the Rounders? I don't know, is there a big rivalry between Ian and the Rounders here?
No, there isn't, but they do. There are some players on the team that get approached by the Rounders Association and said, you know, we're missing a few players, would you be up for coming and getting involved? And of course we say yes, brilliant.
And if someone does want to get involved, Brett, how can they do so?
Just the usual way, social media. Just find us on Instagram at Cork Renegades, or we've got a website, corkrenegades.com. Facebook, for those people that use Facebook. Yeah, just the usual channels, really. And then there's a little form on the website for you to fill in that just a bit about yourself, whether you've got any experience in baseball. It doesn't matter if you don't. And then we just put you on the list because, like I said, you know, we've got lots and lots of people that want to do it. So we're limited as to how many we can introduce to a training session for the first time. The first training is always free because there's no point in paying for something if you don't like it. And then if you like it, you can come back and then you can sign up to be a fully fledged member, where you get, you know, your cap, your jersey, your training t-shirt and your hoodie. And then you're officially a renegade, and then you join the team and then come to training, have an absolute incredible amount of crack, and throw and catch a baseball and make new friends.
And all that lovely gear can get destroyed climbing up Caron 2 with Lynn as well.
Yeah, but it's never been done before, so it's the first of its kind. There's about 20 of us that are climbing the mountain in full-on uniform, and then when we get to the top, we're going to throw and catch a ball and raise the Renegades flag and celebrate the Coke Foundation and all the great work that they do.
You're just going to use a bat as a hiking stick, I'd say.
Never thought of it before, but now you mention it, absolutely. Let's do it.
So the playoff tomorrow, is it the final then after, if you get through?
So, yeah, it's playoff tomorrow. Depending on if we win or not, it's the final the weekend after, which is the 14th.
Best of luck. Yeah.
And fingers crossed for that, absolutely.
Yeah, you get a bit of a crowd going up to Ashbourne as well to support you.
A lot of people have family and friends up there, so they'll come and watch because there are a few seats for people to stand and watch, or sit down and watch and shout from the sidelines. So yeah, fingers crossed. Last year we had we rented a coach to go up there, so it was some fierce fun. It was brilliant.
Oh, wow, brilliant stuff. Brett Sutherland, founding member and president of Cork Renegades baseball.
It sounds very official, doesn't it?
Thanks so much for speaking to us. Best of luck in your playoff and hopefully final. Cheers.
Absolutely. I'll keep you posted.
The ref's whistle has gone for half time here on the Big Red Bench on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Come back to us in the second half. We'll have all the reaction to Munster's loss last night. Do not go anywhere. Welcome back to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next 25 minutes at this stage. We have audio from our very own Joe McCarthy, and it's not in the form of GAA content. We're mixing it right up here on Cork's Good Times Red FM. He was commentator for Munster's loss to Gloucester last night, and he even had the time to throw me the match report. He's a dedicated man, is our Joe.
Munster 19, Gloucester 33. That's the final score from Friday night's pre-season men's senior rugby clash at Virgin Media Park in front of 4,497 spectators. It proved a frustrating evening for Graham Rowntree's 30-man panel, despite some positive individual displays. Of those, Munster Academy graduate scrum half Jack Oliver was the standout, capping an all-action display with a merited second-half try. Other newcomers, including Sean Odogbo, Rowan Quinn, Luca Cleary, Connor Ryan, Gordon Wood and Patrick Campbell, also made their presence felt. New signings winger Thakir Abrahams, out-half Billy Burns and centre Tom Farrell had their moments, as did Gary Owen's Brian Fitzgerald. Yet, this was still a chastening loss and a disappointing performance on home soil, just 2 weeks out from Munster's URC opener against Connacht on Saturday, September 21st. All of that off the back of a narrow 24-21 defeat to another English Premier club, Bath, just 6 days before. Donning their new 24-25 European kit, Munster opened the scoring via a Liam Coombs try after just 4 minutes. Billy Burns converted, but that was Gloucester's cue to take over. Coombs spilled the restart and Charlie Atkinson accepted the easiest of tries before George Barton kicked the conversion. The English Premiership side took advantage of porous Munster defensive frailties as first Ali Thurley and then Max Llewellyn crossed the whitewash to stretch their team's lead to 21-7. Another Munster Academy graduate, Ruan Quinn, forced his way over the line on the half hour. A missed Burns conversion preceded Afo Fasogbon crossing the line after more Gloucester pressure. George Martin converted and then finished a flowing move for his side's fifth try before converting to make it 33-12 at the interval. The second half saw a plethora of subs from both benches, Gloucester changing 13 players alone during the interval and, unsurprisingly, only one additional score. Munster dominated possession and territory, but Jack Oliver's try and Burns' conversion were the only scores of an untidy half. It finished 33-19 to Gloucester, leaving Graham Rowntree and his players with plenty to ponder ahead of facing Connacht in 2 weeks' time. For Corkshire FM's Big Red Bench, live at Virgin Media Park, I'm Ger McCarthy.
That was the most professional match report I've ever heard in all my life. He also caught up with the Munster captain, Jack O'Donoghue.
Okay, disappointing result, but an awful lot of players, 30 players used tonight, a lot of young academy players as well. There's positives to take from it despite the result.
Yeah, look, you have to try to find a few positives, but certainly, you know, there's a lot to learn. There's a lot to get right before we head into the URC, and thankfully now we've a week's training that we can really be honest, be open in our review process and try and rectify that performance and certainly hit the ground running in the URC.
Yeah, Graham spoke about Monday morning. You sit down, you talk it through, and he's mentioned that you are a very honest group of players anyway. That's going to help the situation.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, people taking accountability, people owning up to mistakes, you know, and look, no one goes out in the game to purposely make mistakes, that these things happen. But yeah, we will have a good honest review. But you know, look, there's some positives, like you said. There's some lads there who played for Munster for the first time, which is a great occasion, and they slipped in seamlessly, you know, because they've been trained with us all pre-season, and you know, they got an opportunity, and you know, they took with both hands, and fair dues to them.
It's a very talented group of people, it's a very honest group of people, and I think this might actually be the kickstart of something positive for you going into that kind of game.
Yeah, absolutely, you know, there's no harm. But yeah, look, it's a kind of a wake-up call, and certainly that we can have a lot to learn, but we can also put simple adjustments, and we can, you know, be a different team coming up against Connacht.
Just finally, for your own sake as well as captain, a proud moment for you, wasn't the result, but the proud moment for you and your family to see as captain.
Yeah, it's always a proud moment, you know, when you get to lead out the 15 for the game. You know, you can't take it for granted, you know, especially coming down here to Virgin Media Park. It's always a good atmosphere, and there's always a good crowd out. So yeah, I'm really proud, you know, to lead the lads out, but yeah, disappointed with the result.
You're also caught up with Graham Rowntree, the Munster head coach.
I don't know why they call them friendlies. There's nothing friendly in the game of rugby. No. We'll have a good review of it. We're not perfect, are we, going into this season? Good God, plenty of things to work on. I was disappointed with our energy, our actions, our collisions. We spoke about it a lot in the week, but it's quite evident we weren't at the races early on. We just weren't. That's nothing against them. Crikey, they look sharp, didn't they, particularly off set piece. Playing for us to work on. You know, I'm hoping I'm going to look back in 15 days' time and think that's exactly what we needed, a kick up the backside going into the URC. But lots of things for us to look at. I was proud of some of the performances of some of the young men that came on the field, like Gordy Woods, first touch of the ball was fielding a high ball under a lot of heat. Sean Odogba was outstanding. Takir Abrahams is everything that we've been watching, and that's why we signed him. He looked very agile, he looked dangerous. Again, I'm not taking anything away from a Gloucester team, you know. Did very well in the second half after a lot of changes themselves. With all our territory, we just couldn't get over the line. Lots to work on.
Just on Takir, do you think he gives you a kind of an added dimension this season just with that breakneck speed?
Like, yes.
It's elite.
Yeah. His agility, he can step out of tackles, step out of heat. Across the back three. I'm looking forward to, you know, he's had visa issues, he's only really been on deck with us for a couple of weeks. But no, he's proven to be everything that we signed him for.
Fairly despondent Rowntree there. You're also caught up with George Skivington, the Gloucester head coach.
George, first of all, congratulations. A victory coming over here. First of all, how happy are you with the performance, whatever, irrespective of the final score?
Yeah, I'm really pleased with the performance. I think these games, obviously, you know, we're both playing with 30 players, so probably the result is the result can go either way and doesn't mean a huge amount. You obviously always want to win, but I'm really pleased with the attitude of the lads. There's a few things we've set out this year that we weren't good enough and we weren't happy about last year, and I think top of that is we've got to bring a good attitude every time we play, which sounds like an absolute given, but sometimes it gets sticky in this profession, and you've got to do that, and we didn't do that well enough last year. So a good first hit out for us, but that's all it is right now, first hit out.
First trophy in 9 years last year, big boost for the club, a lot of academy players coming through, but your two outhouses from Wales, Tomás Williams and Chris Anscombe, imparting with their experience to rub off those younger players?
Yeah, absolutely. We haven't probably had a senior halfback for a number of years. We had Adam Hastings, but he was injured quite a lot for us the last couple of years. So those guys have been brought in as much for off the field as on the field. I thought they both played really well tonight. But yeah, I think you could see the young lads are learning off them in pre-season. I think you could see that the lads were motivated by their decision making out there tonight. And as I say, we've got some really talented young lads behind that. But there's nothing like some senior players to guide you.
Indeed. And considering you went so well in the Challenge Cup last year, getting to the final as well, I know you want to make that next step up the Premiership table and move up further than you did last year. But the signs are good in King's Home. The things are turning for you.
Yeah, I think, you know, we put our eggs in a couple of baskets last year, and we didn't expect to drop off in the Prem like we did. That wasn't acceptable. But, you know, I think we know when we go hard at something, we're good. I think, you know, my guidance has probably got to be better amongst, even if we go really hard for something, it's never okay to take a spanking in any competition. So, you know, there's an up and down year for us last year, but the things we went hard after, we were good at, and we just got to make sure we're a bit more consistent across each competition.
And just finally, your impressions of the, again, 30 players on the field for Munster tonight, but coming over here, never easy, as you well know from your career, but a lot of young players in the academy, much like yourselves, Munster building through the academy now as well.
Yeah, look, I love Munster as a club. I think Munster and Gloucester actually have a lot in common, and I was trying to work out how many times I've come here and played against Munster here or Limerick, and it's a lot, and good and bad memories. But I think it's a great club, you know, it's great people. I think you've got, you know, real great coach in Wick, who I know well, and it's always tough here. Like, you know, it's going to be tough and niggly, and had two great seasons, you know, they've got a good group together now, they understand each other, and I think it's exciting times for Munster rolling into this season, to be honest.
Excellent, best luck to yourselves in Gloucester for the coming season.
Thanks very much, cheers.
Latest from the Aviva, England 2 Ireland 0. Evan Ferguson has been brought on, as well as Casey McAteer. Hopefully they can do something, but with 83 minutes gone, it's not looking too promising. Now, West Cork Club, Clonakilty Rugby Club, they were presented with the Bank of Ireland National Junior Club of the Year Award for the 23-24 season at the Virgin Media Munster Rugby Awards ceremony held in the Woodlands House Hotel in Adair County, Limerick. In the B-Ray Benches, John McCarthy spoke to Clonakilty PRO Vicky McCabe about what's happening on and off the pitch at the Shannon Vale-based club.
Now on Corkshire FM's Big Red Bench, we are delighted to be joined by the Clonakilty Rugby Club PRO Vicky McCabe following the West Cork Club's fantastic award, the Bank of Ireland Junior Club of the Year Award for the 2023-2024 season at an awards ceremony recently. Delighted to be joined by Vicky on the line now. Vicky, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, Jay. How are you?
Really good. First of all, congratulations. The West Cork club winning the overall Bank of Ireland Junior Club of the Year Award is a phenomenal achievement, and it must have been a fantastic moment for you and for the club when you found out.
Oh, it was so exciting, and we had to keep it a secret for a week, which almost killed us. But it was great. We were absolutely delighted. Like, lots of hard work has gone into this. And we weren't expecting it at all, really. But so it's great to get the recognition.
Yes, you went to the Woodlands Hotel in Adair County, Limerick, recently for that awards ceremony. There was quite a few awards on the night. But for the club itself, I know Clonakilty, obviously I'm from Clonakilty myself, but the growth of the club over the past, I suppose, decade, to be fair, you've grown now from pretty humble beginnings. Now you have a membership close to 750 members. That is fantastic. But that's down to, I would imagine, to a committee that's worked extremely hard to get it to that number.
Oh yeah, I mean, about 10 years ago, we were in a stage where we had like a club committee and like a adult committee and a youth and an underage committee, and we we combined them, I think, about 4 or 5 years ago just to make the club more efficient. But even with that, we've got over 150 volunteers in the club. So it takes a lot of organisations. We have a lot of subcommittees, a lot of meetings, and it doesn't just happen. You know, like we've got, I'm about to step into a coach's morning where we take all our coaches through the ethos of the club, how we want to coach for the year, plans, communications, safeguarding, spirit of rugby, everything. We cover everything, and it all takes a lot of input from a lot of people. So it is brilliant to have them all recognised. You know, it's a great achievement.
It certainly is. One of the things with Clonakilty RFC as well, I think one of the main reasons you did, along with that membership and that effort behind the scenes, is the development of your Shannon Vale facilities. You've input a brand new 4G pitch at the start of last season. What effect has that had on the club?
Oh, it has been amazing. Firstly, just because it looks brilliant, but it has saved our pitches because, you know what the weather's like in Ireland. You get to sort of midwinter and the pitches are really taking strain and they are just turning to mud baths. And we've now, we can train on the Astro for the entire season and we can keep our pitches for matches, which makes such a difference because A, our players are playing on proper pitches for games, but B, it looks better, it's a better feel for the club, and we can keep everyone training. We don't have to cancel training, we can just carry on going no matter what the weather because, you know, we've got that facility, so it's huge for us. In addition, we've managed to open it to other clubs around the community, so we've got like the athletics clubs use it, the soccer clubs use it, so it's great. It's more like a community facility as well, so it's really good for us.
Talk to me about the rise in interest in schoolgirls and female rugby within the club, because I've seen firsthand how the local school won a Munster title last year, Sacred Heart, Clonakilty. A lot of the players involved in that school team have come through the ranks at Clonakilty. But the growth, the explosion in growth, Vicky, of schoolgirls rugby has been another huge positive for Clonakilty RFC.
Oh, it's been brilliant. I'll tell you a funny story. About 6 or 7 years ago, Nev Burton and myself, Nev's not the chairman, but we went to the Sacred Heart convent to give them a talk about rugby. And we were all set up and we had a whole load of a PowerPoint set up and everything. And we had about 100 girls sitting looking at us and none of our technology worked. We had to absolutely wing it. And it was the most embarrassing thing. We both walked out and said, oh, that was awful. And literally we had about 3 girls turn up to training the next week. And from that, they all just brought their friends. And last season, for the last couple of seasons, we've had 2 teams in the under-16 girls because we've had so many players. It is brilliant to see the girls playing, and they're so involved. And they actually took it to the schools, and they're like, we want to play rugby, and the school embraced it. And it's mainly Sacred Heart in Clonakilty, and they embraced it fully, and it's brilliant. Like, they did so well last year in the finals. It's great to see. It really is.
It certainly is. And from the club's humble beginnings and from the facilities that you've developed, you're also now one of the first Munster clubs to get involved with the Sustainable Clubs Programme, which has been developed by the Department of the Environment, Climate and Communication. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what's involved there?
Well, basically, RFU want to roll out a programme where clubs just sort of are more conscious of the green footprint, pretty much. So my husband, Garrett McCabe, he's actually looking at it along with Gabby and a whole other crew of people who are very interested in the green commitment. And it starts from little things. And like, we don't have paper cups in our clubhouse. We have mugs. So if people want to have a cup of coffee, they use a mug. It's like little things like that, but also really big things, looking at how we, like for our Astro, we have to water it. So we get all the rainwater off the roof and it goes straight into tanks that we can water it. We're looking at putting solar panels up on the club, just trying to make it more and more sustainable. Like, there are little things we can do, and there are also really big things we're planning on doing. But it's a great step forward, and we're getting the backing of the RSU, and they're, you know, going to give us guidelines and things like that. So it's early days, but we're very excited about it.
Yes, indeed. And just to go back once again to the Bank of Ireland Junior Club of the Year Award, which of course was held in Adair last week, where you received your award. Another player that has come through the ranks and someone that everybody knows very well from his Munster senior exploits. is John Hodnett. He won the Virgin Media Supporters Player of the Year. There's a lovely photo of you and John and the committee at the actual awards. It must be gratifying to see the likes of John Hodnett and also Cian Hurley, and not just the men, but also some of the younger girls that were coming through the ranks and making their presence felt at Munster and interprovincial level. It just shows that the club and the coaching that's going on at the club is certainly on the right footing.
Oh, it is brilliant. Like, we're all so proud of John. He's, you know, besides being an excellent player, he is just such a nice guy. And Cian Hurley as well. Like, he's had a couple of injuries, but it's great to see him in Munster. And also Connor Ryan, who came off the bench last night and in last week's match for Munster. Again, he's really young and he has just gone up so quickly. He's brilliant. And we have 5 goals playing in the Munster under-18 match today, so we can't complain. It's great to see. It is great to see all our clubs' representation in Munster, and it's just like, we're just so proud of all of them. It's brilliant.
And so you should be, Vicky McCabe. Once again, congratulations to you and to Clonakilty RFC on winning the Bank of Ireland Junior Club of the Year for the 2023-2024 season. Fantastic achievement for any club, but to do it on a national level shows how the West Cork club is going from strength to strength. And thank you for taking the time to speak to us here on the Big Red Bench.
Thanks very much, Jim.
Yeah, huge well done to all in Clonakilty. Now, I did speak to Blue Demons basketball head coach Danny O'Mahony earlier today, but unfortunately, the line proved too bad to play the call out on air right now. We had a great chat about the club and basketball in Cork in general, but what we're particularly trying to get across is to get the Mangan Classic 2.0 taking place in the Merdek Arena from September 13th to the 15th. We want you to be there. There are multiple Cork clubs taking part, from the Demons to Neptune and Ballincollig. There are 8 teams playing multiple times, and they kind of use it as a bit of a pre-season. If you haven't watched basketball before and are in any way interested in sport, I highly encourage you to go. I watched my first basketball game last year. I'm not proud to admit, but what an entertaining game. As I said on the phone call to Danny, the GAA should look at bringing in the shot clock to Gaelic football, the thing, I think, which makes basketball so exciting and end-to-end. So be sure to get to the Merdek Arena during the 13th to the 15th to go and support us, and you may end up loving the sport. You can contact the Blue Demons on their Instagram page, Blue Demons BC. That's all we have time for here on the Big Red Bench on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey signing off. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Marty Gilfoyle is on the way next.